let's get to the core of what we have to address. On the one hand, we're going to experience a tshuva movement, and it's a big mitzvah to share mitzvahs with other people. On the other hand, you're not allowed to impose, whatever that means. So what does one do when you have a case where one spouse attended Gateways and the other did not? Right? Keep things simple. When one spouse is interested in observance, the other isn't interested. I had a wild case of a gentleman who was very interested, and he was attending a chavrusa program every Tuesday night. And eventually he decided to buy himself a pair of tzitzis. Beautiful mitzvah. A few days later, the wife comes into shul carrying a bag like this, as if it's contaminated. I'm wondering, like, what does she got in there? She comes in, and she's all angry. And she says, "I'd rather be dead than I should live to see the day that this is in my bedroom." I still don't know what's in the bag, you know?
I mean, it's actual keys, right?
She says, "I would have rather found a different woman in my bedroom."
Well, yeah.
"Than to find this." I said, "What do you got there?" And she lets me open the bag and take out a pair of tzitzis. So I thought it was really comical. Because if you remember our session on tzitzis, what does tzitzis do?
It protects you from immorality.
She was right on the mark. She's saying, "I'd rather throw out the tzitzis and I would rather..." Are you crazy? And that, I believe, is one of the key points that the more observant spouse has to make to the less observant spouse. The point is that our relationship will be enhanced and will be treasured more as a result of the teachings that I'm getting involved with. Because the teachings that I'm getting involved with preach more loyalty to the spouse, more family time, and more sensitivity in relationships. And if you can share that information, if you could explain that tzitzis isn't that now there's a barrier between me and you, but rather tzitzis is a uniform for loyalty between the spouses, so suddenly it's very hard to argue on such a thing. I'm becoming part of a school of thought that treasures marriage so much and recognizes the immorality of the world that we have a safeguard. We have a reminder. So that when you walk through the bus station and the train station, and everybody has plastered around posters, and every stand is offering magazines, I touch my tzitzis, and I say, "Oh, that stuff is not for me. I'm part of a different group of people that don't get involved in that stuff." What it boils down to is that the spouse that is less interested in observance feels that the dynamics of the relationship have changed. She married, or he married, somebody who was willing to go to the beach on Saturday, and now that was taken away from him or her. One of the important concepts to express is that life has changed. That's a fact of the way lives work. Sometimes people experience a job change, even for a good reason. A company can move from New York to New Jersey for financial reasons, and the family has to move from New York to New Jersey because the commute became impossible, and you have to make new friends. And there are going to be changes, and you're going to have to give up that home that you was your dream home. Changes happen. A spouse breaks a leg. I had an experience, you know, a few weeks ago. All that happened was my wife sprained her ankle. Thank God. That's all that it was. But for a few days, you know, house is topsy-turvy. But that's life. Life has changes. There's nothing you're going to do about that. One of the greatest teachings of Judaism, and specifically observant perspective, is that you address change and you live with it. And that the relationship is so strong that it's not a disposable relationship. The observant spouse needs to reiterate that just because there's a change in my life doesn't change our relationship. I may no longer be going skiing on Shabbat, but if I would have, God forbid, broken my leg, I wouldn't be going skiing on Shabbat either. Things change. We're human. And things change in humans' lives. Okay. Let's say we get married, husband, wife, and they both like dairy dishes. They love dairy. Lasagna, quiche souffle, with cheese oozing on top. And a person changes his mind after a few years. I don't like that anymore. I want to go vegetarian. So what should I tell you? In Judaism, we respect the change. It does. We do. A person is allowed to develop. A human being does. And we don't only talk about acts of God that the insurance company would respect. We also talk about acts of God of a religious nature, because that's also an act of God. And that's relationships. Yeah.
Okay, so Judaism respects change, but if your parents or your siblings or cousins or aunts aren't religious and you changed, they feel alienated.
Okay, we have to identify why they feel alienated. Do they feel that you might be onto something?
Because you can't do things their way anymore.
Okay, I don't have to do things their way. I'm a human being. There's no such agreement. I didn't sign such an agreement that I'm going to do things their way.
And be with them.
Spouses don't either sign an agreement to do things the other person's way. It's a relationship. And things do change. Yeah. And we're going to work them out. We're going to be bigger than the change. And you will watch. This is all very good theoretical in a room. But I could show you cases. Either the families went ahead and worked with this philosophy and they are on totally observant levels, different observant levels, and their marriage, I mean, I'm sure it could be better if they'd be on the same page, but you know, that doesn't mean all the things that people take it to mean. Oh, that means you're rejecting me. It means that it's all over. I mean, is that true? And I could show you families where the first moment of challenge, it was all over. But that's a testimony, nothing to do with the observance change. That's a testimony to the relationship. If they were willing to hold it together, it'll stay together. You don't get punished for your spouse's violations. No. We're going to discuss in a minute on what areas they have to be united. And they have to work that out. But what happens is, if you back off and say, my change doesn't mean I'm imposing it on you. I never said that. But it's very meaningful to me to attend services Friday night. it is meaningful to me. I'm not lying. I'm not manipulating. It is important to me. And if you recognize that I have, in your eyes, it's a newfound hobby. But if you recognize that I have this newfound hobby that is very important to me, then we work together. We figure out what's most important. But my point is that this is not anything new. This is the same thing in any relationship. How strong is the relationship? I had a situation with my wife this week that we only had one car. One car was out for transmission to be rebuilt, and we only had one car. So, a very tough situation. I'm sure it never happened to you. If you're a two-car family, and you're constantly with schedules of what you're going to be doing, and suddenly you're downsized to one car, so there's, I wouldn't use the word conflict, but I guess that's what it looks like on paper. There's a conflict. Do you get the car? Do I get the car? And what you have to do is you have to decide as a family unit what is most important to us. And certain things are going to be so important to one person or to the other, you're going to have to work them out.
If one person, if one of the spouses changes, decides one's become observant.
Yes.
That indicates flexibility on that spouse's part. The other spouse may be very rigid, and there in itself creates a tremendous conflict.
Yeah. So
some people do not like change at all.
That's true, and that's not really a choice in life. That has to be learned. Some of us have it naturally, others have to acquire it, and if you realize that that's the nuance of the conflict, then that person has to be introduced to the concept of change. There are people who have not encountered a need or an understanding of the need for flexibility until they're middle-aged and beyond. If anything doesn't meet their level, minimal levels of flexibility, which is very little accommodation, they either don't deal with them or they find some other method. There are people who don't encounter spiritual growth for most of their lives.
Who's going to teach them how to change? It can't be the religious family member.
That's true. But the more observant family member can point this out and explain that there is a methodology of dealing with conflict. Came across a very interesting theory not long ago, tolerance muscles. Some people, you know, you're on a situation that doesn't meet what your expectations were, you get all frustrated. So Rabbi Pliskin writes about developing tolerance muscles, so that I'm waiting on a long line in the store and I'm getting frustrated, or the doctor's not calling me in for my appointment and I'm already sitting there for an hour and a half. So he talks about this is a great opportunity to develop your tolerance muscles. You take a deep breath, you put things in perspective, you find what to do, you learn to rearrange your appointments. If this is indeed so important, you cancel your next appointment. However you handle the crisis, but you are becoming a greater person to the point that this perspective, if taken to its logical conclusion, says if there is no conflict in your life, then there's an area of your life that is underdeveloped because you're not exercising your tolerance muscles. So the proper composite picture of my life at any one time is supposed to have at least 5 or 10% conflict, 5 or 10% of stress, besides my hope of 70% everything going great. They did a study with monkeys. They had monkeys in two different cages. Into one cage, they would let, I don't know if it was a hawk or a different bird, but some bird that preyed on these monkeys was allowed into the cage every now and then. And into the other one, they lived an idyllic life. The ones that the bird was allowed into lived significantly longer. And that seems to affirm the theory. The theory is that a person does need, even physically, some stress, some conflict, some up and down. But obviously this is much more sophisticated than hawks and monkeys. This is development of tolerance muscles.